For the sake of context, let me go on and read verse 17. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Verse 19, then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And so she went and filled the skin with the water and gave the boy a drink. Verse 20, God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Amen. Let me put a little tag on this text, a time to grow up, a time to grow up. Genesis 16, as well as Genesis chapter 21, reveals the drama that has happened in the family and in the life of Abraham. In particular, one of the things that has taken place and that we've got to deal with in our main character today, whose name is Ishmael. He's with his mama Hagar. They are living with a lot of drama and tension in this circumstance and situation. I put the tag "time to grow up" because if you ever want to start off any year, especially a brand new decade, one of the things you have to want to keep in mind is that it is God's desire that all of us grow. Amen. When something does not grow, it's a sign that something's wrong. There's a text in Peter where we're compelled, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He provides the grace that we need so that we can grow to become all that he desires for us to be. I planted some seeds a few weeks ago and really did the best I could. I provided the best environment, put a heat mat underneath because it is the winter time, but it's inside. I put some light on it, not hot so that it wouldn't burn. Put a mist of water, didn't drown it like I normally do, and I waited and waited and nothing happened. I tried it again and still nothing happened. Took the same seeds, gave it to my friend who's the expert, and he took the same seeds and tried it, and he said, "Larry, I couldn't get them to germinate either. It must be something wrong with the seeds. I don't know if we left them in a circumstance where they got overheated and ruined. I don't know what happened, but what was expected did not happen. We put it in the right environment, but it still did not grow. We put it in the hands of people who had been successful growing seeds before, and it still did not grow. But you need to know that God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. And I'm lifting this text because there's a circumstance that's not real easy, but in spite of that, the person still grew. Let me walk you through it like this. Ishmael, he was experiencing some collateral damage. He had to go through some stuff. He was a victim of adult drama. Adult drama. He's a child. At this point, he's 13, but he's having to deal with something that really didn't, it was the consequence of somebody else's decision. Here's what had happened. The adult drama that this child has to deal with now, it's a result of the fact that some grown folk in his life, I'm gonna give it to you. Here's what the grown folk did. The grown folk were influenced by the world. These were grown folk who had a promise from God, but they became impatient and they decided to yield and do what the world did. Some of y'all can take that bone and preach it yourself. I want to encourage you, I really want to encourage you, when God has made you a promise, and he's made a whole lot of promises to his people, don't become impatient, because if you never learn nothing else about God, you need to know that sometimes God is slow. But on the other hand, sometimes God is fast. Is there anybody that can testify that the God we serve, sometimes he's, y'all acting like I said something sacrilegious. He is slow. There are times he does not move when we want him to move. He doesn't move how we want him to move. He's slow. Sometimes he's slow. Now I'm saying that, looking at that. And they're influenced. So don't, my lesson point here is that these folk were influenced by the world because God wasn't moving as fast as they wanted him to move. And being influenced by the world, here's what they did. They indulged in what was readily available. You go on back and read it. Most of you know the story. There was something, someone that was readily available, and they indulged in doing something that was outside of God's will because it was readily available. There's a restaurant that I go to, and they have a sign to let you know up front, this is not fast food. It takes a minute to cook and present what we present. And we're telling you up front that we provide good food, but the good food we provide don't come fast. In other words, if you want the best that we have to offer, you're going to have to be patient. Now, if you want something that's readily available, you can go across the street. There's a burger already wrapped, sitting there waiting on you. They were influenced by the world, and they indulged in something that was readily available. Here's the last one. They did all of that knowing that it was outside of God's will, which then means they were indifferent to God's rule. That's what that really means. It means, God, I know you told me not to do this, but I don't care. I'm gonna do it anyway. They were indifferent to God's rule. And that's a dangerous place to be. You're influenced by the world, indulgent in stuff just because it's readily available, and indifferent to the consequences, indifferent to God's rule, that's a dangerous place to be. Doggone it, our country done figured out a way to tax weed. It's been illegal for a long time. Families have been disrupted for many, many years. But our marvelous country, they didn't figure out a way to make it legal and to make some money off of it. So it's, so, and then the paper lets you know, an hour away. Sometimes we ought to go over to the line, over to Illinois' line and just park there sometime just to see who's, I'll just tease it. Just cause it's legal, don't make it good, and don't make it right. And just cause other folk do it, don't mean you ought to do it. You and I, the people of God, we ought to operate by a different standard if God is our Father. You ever been to the mall with your children and you see another child acting a fool, and your child look at you and then look at them and they look confused, and you have to remind them, don't try it. Because I'm not their parent. That's why I'm not acting, because I'm not their parent. That's why I'm not engaged, because I'm not their parent. But if you, then you make me engage in another way, because you belong to me. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. The good God we serve, there's some folk he ain't even studying. But when his own children, then he has to engage. Ishmael has to deal with, he's facing collateral damage from the consequences of a sin from some grown folk. And he ends up, here we are in chapter 21, and in chapter 21, his mama and him then got put out again. And they're in a desert place. The family conflict was of such where they ran into the truth that there's some things you can't share. And you had a couple of women trying to share something that you can't share. Kids were just doing what kids do, but it was the grown folk that didn't like the way the kids were playing. And then, because they were trying to share Abraham, it was creating conflict. It was completely outside of what God's design was. And so God tells Abraham, you're going to have to tell your slave woman and your child, they got to go. When I get to heaven, I've been trying to figure out why God would tell Abraham, you got to tell them they've got to go. And Abraham gives her, in chapter 21, he gives her, according in chapter 21, here's what he does in verse 14. He gives her some food and a skin of water. It wasn't much, whatever it was. I tell you how small it was. It was small enough that she could fit it on her back. It was enough to put in a backpack. And then the text said that when she left, let me show it to you. In verse number 14, it said, she went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. This is a tough text, because here is a man who God has called. Here is a man who God is going to build a great nation out of. And God tells the man, give her enough. Just give her some food. It wasn't enough. Give her some food, give her some water, and send her on her way. And I'm thinking, what? Not a donkey? Not a cart? Just a backpack? That seems so cold. And I don't, I'm telling you right now up front, I don't totally understand all of this, but I do see something else in the text. The text says she wandered. She wandered in the desert. Here's what I know for a fact. I know that there were communities that were closer together. There were some little towns that were closer together, but she didn't go directly to any of them. She wandered. And I know for a fact that any time you wander, see, what she's really saying, I think she's so brokenhearted, she don't know what to do or where to go. And she finds herself wandering. I'm sure people second guess, well, maybe I ought to go to this town, but then she thinks, maybe I ought to go, and the text says she's wandering, no place in particular, she's just wandering around. And here's what I know: when anybody does not have a good plan to go directly, when you start wandering, sooner or later, you're going to run out. But I got some good news. She runs out, wandering in this desert. But the good news is, in the midst of all of that, you need to know that God is aware of your desert circumstances. The good news is, he's still watching. And he's aware of your desert circumstances. She's wandering. She doesn't really know what she wants to do. And in the midst of the wandering, what happens is she ran out of food. And not only does she run out of food, but she reaches the end. She's so desperate, she's through. It's over. She's out of food. She doesn't know where to go. She's out of all resources. And she's at the end of a rope. And even if there was a McDonald's, wasn't no money. And the text says, Daryl, here's what the text says. She can't stand to see her son in that circumstance. And she goes over, she finds a bush, and she puts her son, he's about 13 years old. She put this teenager under a bush, because the best she can give him is shade. When you down where all you can give is shade, that's the end. And she goes away a little distance, because she can't stand the thought of seeing her child suffer, number one, and she can't stand the thought of seeing her child dies. And in the midst of all of that, she goes away. The boy's crying. She's crying. It's a desperate, devastating situation. And in the midst of that, the Bible says God heard the boy crying. And God came to Hagar and began to talk to her. God sends the angel, and he says to her, this is verse 17, what's the matter? What's the matter? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift him up, for I will make him a great nation. That's verse 17 and 18. What's the matter? God's heard the boy crying where he is. Lift him up, for I'm gonna make him a great nation. And then in the 19th verse, God did something. He opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went, filled the skin with water, and gave the boy a drink. Now this is where I've been trying to get all morning. That's a desperate situation. And she gives the boy a drink. But I told you, he's having to deal with adult decisions. Secondly, I tried to tell you, God is aware of your desert circumstances. But here's the last one. The last thing I want to remind you is that God had already activated her deliverance. Here's the good news. When you read chapter 16 and when you read chapter 20, God is aware. Here's the great picture. God never took his eye off of her. Even when she was wandering, even when she was running out, even when she felt she was at the end of her rope, God never had taken his eye off of her, and her deliverance, their deliverance, had already been activated. Question, well, when did God activate it? I'm gonna tell you. He activated it in chapter 16, verse 7. Let me show you what happened in chapter 16, verse 7. In chapter 16, verse 7, she was pregnant and fell out with Sarah. And Sarah mistreated her, and then she ran away. And in the 7th verse of chapter 16, here's what it says. She was crying by a spring on the sure road. Let me rewind. She landed on the sure road, and on the sure road, there was a spring. Now, here's the difference. In chapter 16, verse 7, she's pregnant, but she's by a spring. You can see a spring, and you can hear a spring. She's desperate. She's been kicked out, but she can see a spring and hear a spring. And it just so happens she's on the sure road. And the angel of the Lord came to her when she was pregnant. And in the 10th verse said, you're going to have a son. And he's going to be, he's going to have a whole lot of descendants. Matter of fact, he said to her, he's going to have more descendants than you can count. Don't miss it. She's pregnant. She's put out, pregnant, by a spring. And the angel shows up when she was crying then. She was by some water she could see. And the angel showed up then when she was pregnant. I got some good news for you. And the promise was, you're going to have a child, and you're going to have so many grandchildren that you can't count. Here's what he's really saying. this thing, he's going to have a son. Now think about it. She can't have grandchildren unless he gets born. She can't have grandchildren unless he gets grown. She can't have grandchildren unless he gets grown and gets married. She can't have grandchildren unless God keeps him from the womb to being born and being a grown man. He activated her deliverance in chapter 16. You know what happens to us? We forget what he says. He activated in chapter 16. Now here she is in chapter 21. She's got a boy, a young boy, and God speaks to her again and says, he's going to be a great nation. The deliverance has already been activated. Now here's what blows my mind, and what makes me scratch my head is that God shows her a well, because you can't see it. He's got to show it to you. He shows her the well, and thank God she didn't throw away the skin. I ain't got time to preach all of this, but when you're down to your last, if all you got is a backpack and that's all you got, at least hold on to it, because God may want to fill it up again. Don't be so discouraged that you think what little you got ain't worth nothing. Hold on. If that's all you got, it's all you got. But God will start with what you got. God tells her, now take that same skin that was empty and fill it up and give him something to drink. He's going to be a great nation. He's going to be a great nation. Now you think that now the angel is going to usher her to a wonderful city or a plush pasture with a house already on it, and now life's going to be easy. Read the text. It's all in verse 20. Here's the first thing I need to tell you. All it says in verse 20 is God was with him. See, we don't know when to shout. I'll come back to that in a minute. Here it is. God didn't take them out of the desert. He didn't take them out of the desert. God, good. Now we got something to drink. Now, where are we going? No, we ain't going nowhere. We're going to stay right here. Okay. God doesn't take him out of the desert. Okay, God, then you're going to change the desert. No, he doesn't change the desert. He doesn't take him out of the desert. He doesn't change the desert. Well, then what you going to do? I already told you. You just didn't know when to shout. I'm going to be with you. See, sometimes you want God to do what's easy. Giving you a bus ticket out of the desert, that's easy. Even for God, changing the desert, he could spit one time and turn the desert into oasis. That's easy. He's not taking them out. He ain't changing the desert. I'm going to leave the desert what it is. It's a desert. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to step in the desert with you. Watch the text. We read too fast. We read too quick. God Look at it, verse 20. God was with the boy as he grew. Don't miss it. Not till he grew. As he grew. Watch it now. Not one vitamin to get you through the year. No. As he grew. Every step. Doggone it. Every step of the way. God was with him as he grew. You ought to shout right there. Because if you look back over your life, you can look back and say, he's been with me as I grew. He was with him as he grew. I'm still in verse 20. He lived in the desert. Hagar thought they were going there to die. But now he's not just surviving, he's thriving. In the desert. He's thriving in the place that most folk want to avoid. But because, you know why, God was with him, he could make it where in places where other folk couldn't. I don't know how you can stay. When God's with you, you can do some things that other folk can't do. When God's with you, you can do it places where other folk can't handle. Same verse, verse 20. He lived in the desert and became an archer. So God let him survive. Here's the second thing. God gave him a skill. God let him survive, then God gave him a skill. I was struggling with this. Because I thought to myself, you left him in the desert. There's not normally big animals in the desert. And God made him an archer. Why would God make him an archer in the desert? I mean, farmer, can't do that in the desert. Because only thing in the desert, you got snakes, you got some jackrabbits, maybe a coyote here and there, but ain't normally no big animals in the desert. But God made him an archer and a skilled archer, which means, now that's a whole nother thing, because here's what God's saying, I'm gonna be with you, but here's what's interesting. What's interesting is that God says, you still gonna have to go get it. You gonna have to hunt. I mean, I'm with you, but that don't mean you ain't gotta work. I'm with you, but you still gonna have to go get it. God lets him survive by giving him a skill. And the skill is he's an archer. God gives him a bow and arrow. Billy, hand me that over there. I wanna show you something. Let me show you something. God gives him a bow and he gives him an arrow. Here's what's interesting. I believe that sometimes God has to give you something to remind you who you are, who he is. Now, here's the deal. First thing, I'm not giving you a gun. You're going to get a bow. I'm going to give you a tool. And this tool is what you're gonna need to survive. And you're gonna have to be good, you're gonna have to get good at this, because not everybody can do it. But you gotta know something. The bow is a great tool, but it's only it's really just a stick. That's what it is. It's a stick, but it's a stick until you bend it. Because there's no power until it's bent. Come on. I'm going to give you a stick, a bent stick, so that every time you have it in your hand, it's a reminder that ain't no power. Till it's bent. And this bow is a picture of what happened in your life. I had to bend you. It's a reminder that you too got bent, but there's power. You got some power because you've been. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. Some of y'all don't want God to bend you, but here's what you need to love about God. He can bend you without breaking you. And for some, if you never got bent, you wouldn't have the power that you have right now. You wouldn't have the faith that you have right now. You wouldn't have the assurance that you have right now. You've been through some things because this ain't the first time you've been through. So every time, it's a reflection of the fact that in your life you got bent, but there's power. Wait a minute. Because even though it's bent, ain't no real power. Ain't no real power until you put a little more tension on it. God, you already bent me. I know. Some of us, we do all right with being bent, but then when God adds tension, then some of us want to quit, but it's part of the plan. He ain't going to keep it tense forever, but every now and then, a little tension is. He became skilled at it. Well, what about this? It ain't nothing but a stick. It's totally dependent on resting in the string. It can't go on its own. It hits somebody over the head, but it can't really go nowhere unless it rests on the string. That's all. It rests on the string and then goes where the archer points it. You missed your shout, Kirk. God, what you trying to tell me? Rest on the string.
Yes, sir.
And go where I tell you to go. Just go. It doesn't have, hey, ain't no steering wheel. It just goes where it's been pointed, where it's been told to go. I'm done, but I do want to wrap this up by telling you, he not only survived, he thrived. Listen, God didn't take him out of the desert. God didn't change the desert. God stayed with him in the desert. He not just survived, he thrived. God gave him a skill to survive that would remind him of himself, his own story, and how good God is. And then watch this. The final thing that happened, and God made sure God stayed true to his promise. His mama, you need one more time? His mama got him a spouse. I told y'all the other week, usually it's the father that goes, works out a deal so that the son can have a spouse. But God fixed it so that his mama was able to do what his daddy wasn't able to do. And his mama got him a good spouse from somebody down in Egypt, and he became a great nation because it was all a part of God's plan. All he had to do, just grow up. Stop complaining, stop criticizing, just grow. Because the God you serve, he has his eye on you. He knows it's a desert place. He knows that there's certain things you don't have, but when you got God, you got everything that you need. Just grow, and he'll be with you through every step, every season, every circumstance. Because your deliverance, your destination has already been determined. Back in chapter 16, God had already declared that you were going to be great. Chapter 21 is just a time of being bent, feeling some tension, but you get a chance to see God working everything for your good. Amen.